Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this first day in May 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and on this Wednesday, we're going to take a look at another reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter, which occurs on May the 4th. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 34. We're reading from the ESV. The title of this particular section is called Gentiles Hear the Good News. The book of Acts, written by Luke, is a wonderful summary of how the gospel came not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. In other words, Jesus died for everyone on earth. So, beginning with verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Now, when you first read this, you might get the impression that Peter is saying that whoever obeys the commandments, that that person is acceptable to God. But we need to see another phrase that's found there. It's that anyone who fears him and does what is right. You see, a lot of people, that is the world, they attempt to do what they think is right, but they have no fear of God. They do not believe that they are sinners to the point where hell could be their eternal life or eternal death. And therefore, they don't really fear God. We learn that from Luther's explanation of the first commandment. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Now, that word fear is comparable to the fear that children have of parents. Normally, if you ask a child, "Are you afraid of your parents?" they're going to say no. But if you ask them, "Are you afraid that at times your parents could discipline you when you do wrong?" then they will say yes. That's the kind of fear. It comes about by the ministry of John the Baptizer. Remember, he had a baptism of repentance. He would go through the vocations of the people, telling them, "Well, like if you are a soldier, you are permitted to fight against your enemy, but you are not permitted to steal from them once the battle is over." And so there were a number of things that John the Baptizer accused the people of in going against the will of God. A baptism of repentance meant that they would repent of those items. And by the power of the Holy Spirit given to them on the day of Pentecost in baptism, they would attempt to love God, fear him properly, and obey him. But they did not obey God in order to get rewarded of going to heaven. They obeyed God because they already had the reward of going to heaven. Jesus Christ had given them that reward on the cross. In the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." You see, a Christian realizes what they are doing is that when they sin against Almighty God, they are spitting in the face of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. That's something that leads to repentance. And the word repentance refers, first of all, to a sadness on our part that we are going against the will of God, and also a desire to follow his will because of our love for Jesus, who died so that we will never really die and that we will live eternally with heaven as our home. Peter goes on in verse 38. "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." You see, that was the difference between the preaching of John the Baptizer and Jesus. That's made very clear in the early chapters of the Gospel according to St. Mark, that John the Baptizer preached a baptism of repentance, but said that he who was following him, namely, Jesus the Christ, would preach the gospel, which was the good news of the forgiveness of our sins. And what does that mean, that our sins would be forgiven? It would mean that we would no longer be held accountable for our evil sins. How is that possible? Because the world, they believe they're only not held accountable when they stop from sinning. But in Christianity, you are not held accountable even while you still sin by your old Adam, because the new man has been forgiven those sins, and therefore Jesus is held accountable for your sins. Verse 37, "You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed." Well, what happened? People came to a recognition of their sinful nature. and they repented of that sinful nation. In fact, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, when did that occur? That occurred when he was baptized by John the Baptizer. Remember, at first, John said, you have no need to be baptized by me. I have a need to be baptized by you. Because he proclaimed that when Jesus came, he would baptize the people with the Holy Spirit. That occurred on the day of Pentecost. But in the meantime, verse 38 says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There is talking about God the Father was with Jesus. We know that because occasionally Jesus thanks the Father. For example, when he fed 5,000 men, not including the women and children, he lifted his eyes to heaven and gave thanks to God the Father for that miracle of taking a few fish and some bread and feeding 5,000 plus people. That was how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power to do good and heal all who were oppressed by the devil. In fact, that healing was kind of looking forward to the day of judgment when everyone would be healed of their diseases who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Salvation did not come about by your obedience. It came about through faith in believing that the words of Jesus were meant for us, and therefore we were saved by grace through faith on account of Jesus. Peter continues, and we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Now, why does he make that distinction? Because remember, at the day of Pentecost, it was a celebration of the Passover. And so people from around the world who were believers came to Jerusalem, and that included Gentiles. Remember, the wise men were Gentiles, and many other Gentiles were healed by Jesus. Even though the disciples at first did not understand that. And that is why Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, was also declared to be apostle to the Gentiles. And Peter was a witness of that. He says, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. Now there he's talking about God the Father. But we also know that Jesus was able to raise himself. As he himself said, I have the power to put myself to death, and I have the power to raise myself up, as also was the power of the Holy Spirit, so that though Jesus was the only person of the Trinity to die on the cross as God, all three persons of the Trinity were able to raise him from the dead. And that occurred on the third day after his hanging on a tree. Because that was the punishment in the Old Testament for those who were sinners. And that's what Jesus took upon himself. He took upon himself the punishment for our sin when he was baptized by John the Baptizer in order to fulfill all righteousness. But when he appeared, he did not appear to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. That's referring to that occasion when, after he rose from the dead, some of the disciples were in the water fishing, and they couldn't catch any fish. But Jesus from the shore told them to let their nets down on the right side, and their boats filled with fish. Peter knew that it was Jesus who said that. So they all rushed to the shore, where Jesus had prepared a breakfast of fish and bread for them. And that's what is being spoken of in verse 39, that he ate and drank with Jesus after he rose from the dead. Going on with verse 43, and he commanded us, now that's Peter talking about the us, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Now that word preach comes from the gospel word, euangelion, to preach the good news. That was what the apostles were to do for the Jews, and with Paul as apostle to the Gentiles, was to preach to the Gentiles. Jesus was the one appointed in the Old Testament. It began in Genesis 3:15, where God told the serpent that through the seed of Eve would come a Redeemer who would die for the sins of the world and redeem them buy them out of the slavery of sin. Free them from the wiles of the devil and take them away from the threat of eternal death, all by his being crucified. Verse 43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who what? Who obeys him? No. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That is the essence of the Christian faith. That all who believe in Jesus Christ, which means we trust the promises of his word, that we will receive eternal salvation and be with the Holy Trinity forever in heaven. Verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles that Peter had been sent to preach the gospel to. That occurs every Sunday morning and other days of the week when worship is held. And in the liturgy, the pastor says, by virtue of my office, I forgive you your sins. These are the words of Jesus, spoken by the pastor on his behalf, so that every person who hears those words and believes them, they extol God. Going on, then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these Gentiles who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Peter is referring to that day of Pentecost when the believers received the gift of the Holy Spirit by speaking in other languages, in other tongues. And they came to a knowledge that Jesus was with them and they were with him. That's something that verse 43 says, that all the prophets proclaimed that. Finally, verse 48. And Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. In chapter 11, Peter reports to the church of how these Gentiles came to faith, and how the gift of the gospel was therefore a gift not only for the Jews, but also for all Gentiles who trusted in faith given by the Holy Spirit. believing that Jesus was the Redeemer. And as Thomas said during the second appearance of Jesus in the second week of his resurrection, "You are my Lord and my God." For the disciples to believe that Jesus is God was a gift from the Holy Spirit, because only God can give the forgiveness of sins, which rids us of eternal damnation and gives us eternal salvation. To be with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit in heaven forever and ever. That's the good news that Peter was told when the angel told him to go to Cornelius and his Gentile friends and have them hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which alone saves. Remember that. Acts chapter 10, to help unbelievers realize whether Jew or Gentile, they too are saved. More on Law and Gospel on tomorrow's program. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.